Welcome to the Lifetime Body Podcast, the place where science meets common sense and where we achieve peak performance at any age. And of course, as you know, we do this by deeply exploring the topics of physical therapy, exercise physiology, biomechanics, nutrition, lifestyle, and more. Science meets common sense, and that's what we do. Thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, John Zombro, and this is episode number 61. The topic of today's show, which is one of our R3 or R-cubed shows, R to the third, rant, rave, and ramble, is a brief show where I'm going to give some perspectives and some opinions, maybe a few facts as well. The title of this show is, Are Morning Routines Bogus? And as often is my response, well, yes and no. Maybe, or how about maybe, or it depends. So let's get into that. First of all, the idea of a morning routine is both very popular and controversial. Almost everywhere these days, we're getting health advice from well-meaning individuals. Oh, you should have a morning routine. Or we see the very specific morning routine of a famous person, a successful person in business or sports or a celebrity of any type. And some of those are very precise in what these individuals do. They may arise with some type of a magic alarm at 3:57, 44 a.m. and go through a series of things, oftentimes including meditation, exercise, supplementation, etc. And then the response would be that it sets up the day and allows that individual to crush it. Well, the first point that I'm going to make is, on one level, every one of us as a human animal, a beast, has a morning routine. And so what I mean by that is, if you're lying horizontal, let's assume that most of us did that in the night, and your eyelids roll back, and you get out of bed, and for most of us, we probably use the restroom, possibly have a drink of water, maybe brush the teeth. That is indeed a routine. It happens with regularity and predictability almost every morning. So on this level, everyone has a morning routine by simply being alive and waking up. But all joking aside, how much of a routine is necessary or is valuable for each of us to get the most out of our lives and our goals, our performances, our work, our relationships? What does a morning routine potentially do for us? And that's the question that I'm asking, and I like to explore and hopefully, allow you that same opportunity. So we do have some debate in the scientific community regarding the existence of what are known as chronotypes. And chronotypes are essentially subtypes of circadian rhythm among humans. And, the camp that's very strong in the belief of chronotypes would say that we have definite morning people and day people and night people who, tend to awake and arise at different times and also go to bed at different times. Then we have yet another camp that says, no, as a species, as the human beast, if we remove a lot of our modern environmental manipulations, we are all wired to, rise and fall at the same times. I live in the middle ground in what I think, and also that's from, that's a measured response from quite a bit of study of the literature. I think that, yes, we humans are similar beasts, but we're not precisely exact, and I've seen this enough, I think we all have, with our common sense, that some folks do tend to get up a bit earlier in the day than others, and I'm one of those people. I'm an early riser to some extent. Also, we have to look at this thing that makes everyone bristle, which is personality or temperament or other words that you would want to use. But there are differences that we appreciate and respect and cherish among each other. There's a wide gamut of descriptors available there. But here's my summary when you look at chronotypes and personality. On the whole, morning routines are fantastic for morning people who love routines. So bearing with me on that, if you can picture a person who gets up early and then really thrives on having a structure and a process. That's fantastic. That's great for that person to utilize a morning routine. And in all probability, it will set up their day and make them more effective and successful and happy. But that's not true for all of us. I'm a morning person, but I'm not a routine lover. And so I do some amount of rote behaviors, yes. But a lot of times, if I'm presented with a routine, I'm always asking that question, well, why? What's the value of it? And I always want to know those answers. And sometimes I'm a bit of a rebel as well, where I'm just going to say, this is the man putting me in the box. And even if I'm shooting myself in the foot, I'm not going to do this routine. But the whole point there would be, everyone is different. And I think we do have to look at that with some respect, that the people who are promoting the morning routines are probably, again, routine loving early risers. So then we move along to another point that I think is quite valuable, and that's one of these things that happens in anyone's morning routine, and that's meditation, or the attainment of a meditative state. And I don't think there are many people who would suggest that this is not valuable. It is indeed valuable. And if we can find a way, any way, whether it's a strongly rote behavior or not, to focus on and perhaps slow down and deepen our breathing and have an opportunity for reflection, do some centering of perspective. This is obviously valuable, and we have to ask ourselves with respect to morning routines, how much of this occurs naturally versus doing it intentionally? And again, we get into those personality differences, but if we all can have a meditative state of a time or two in the day, or maybe more than that, but particularly in the morning, that might be a good thing. It's just how you do it might be your own artistic creation. Then another thing we often hear with these morning routines is, well, you have to keep a journal. You have to do some journaling or have a gratitude journal or whatever form it's going to take. And so we do know that writing and organizing thoughts works for some of us. We can write down goals or things that we're appreciative of, or even create the to-do list. And whatever a person finds calming or energizing, those things aren't always in opposition, that's great. For me, I will occasionally pull out the pen and paper in the morning, and a lot of times it is random thoughts that I'm writing down, and ultimately, occasionally there's a list involved, but I've learned to make my list very brief, and checking off a few items feels like more of a success than only checking off 10% of a 29-item list. Do as you may. So the other thing about the journaling or the writing in the morning that can be valuable is it does allow us to remember and make sense of experiences, find those lessons that we are trying to go through life with. And much has been written about journaling as a part of a gratitude practice. And there are some hormonal effects that we know, hormones and neurotransmitters that are influenced positively, such as oxytocin or serotonin going up, and cortisol and adrenaline are going down. And we do have to ask ourselves this, however, how much of that do we need in the morning? Because we need some amount of cortisol and adrenaline to get us up and get us going for the day. So while in this modern world, we probably need more calmness overall, we may be better off having those deep meditative or gratitude-oriented states occurring in the evening as part of our wind-down ritual to enhance sleep. And so there's a balance there. I just want to say, hey, think about it. Then we get into this next topic, which it's kind of a big one for me, which is movement. And so everyone listening, and hey, thank you for being here, knows that I'm all about movement, and I divide it up into general daily activity or specific exercise that we do. I think most of us need more of it. However, I am not a fan, because let me be on record here, I'm not a fan of these immediate do in the bed or jump out of bed and lay next to the bed on the floor exercise routines. I'm opposed to that. I think that we have strong data to suggest that the human body is is cold or stiffer, not warmed up, an increased injury risk occurs with vigorous exercise in the morning. So some very light things might be acceptable, but when I look at the natural world and the animal kingdom, this seems unnatural to me. Animals don't, unless they're startled, they don't leap from rest and go full bore. They transition and do that gently and gradually. And I think that's what we need to look at as well, to have this gradual, eventual, natural process. And it may only be minutes for some, or it may be hours for others. Some of that does depend on what you did the day before with respect to training or sleep or stress, or you know those things. But we want to make it a transition more than a switch being flipped, that movement that we do in the morning. Notice how the sun rises and make your physiology have that similar building pattern. There's my advice for the day. Then we look at thermal stimuli, which are part of these morning routines. And people like to say, oh, you know, I like to do the sauna, or I do the cold shower, or you name it. And anything goes, I think, as long as it works for the individual. Here's some of the thoughts that I have that if we look at, let's say, cold exposure, cold thermogenesis. So that could be turning your shower to cool at the end, or taking the cold soak or cold plunge. You know, those things have numerous benefits for upregulating the immune system and kickstarting, you know, energy mechanisms. That can be quite valuable. And then when we look at the benefits of heat, there are, you know, numbers of anti-aging and cellular benefits and relaxation benefits as well for heat. So really, it comes down to personal preferences and time of year. And at first, this may seem ironic, but I like to have personally some cold exposure in the morning in the winter and in the colder months of the year. For some reason, this seems to energize me, and as I embrace that, I have a more productive, probably, first half of the day. That's just me. Also, at those times, you know, in the winter and the cooler times of the year, I like heat in the evening. I find that's great to wind down and relax, and heat can actually be used effectively because it, you know, as it warms the skin and vasodilates the body. If you cool off after a hot shower or bath or sauna, you can actually get your core temperature to drop more readily for sleep. So it's not like heating is always going to be sleep disruptive. But things get different for me in the summer. I seem to not crave heat very much at all. And that could be that I'm getting sauna-like effects from some of my workouts that I'm doing outside. And I really enjoy the cold exposure now, particularly in the evening, and this really seems to help me drop my core temperature and get better sleep. And the research does support that a cool body will get more of that crucial deep sleep, which we need early in our sleep time. So just some thoughts on that. I don't think that anything's written in stone with how you use thermal stimuli, cold and heat, but they are cool tools, shall we say, power levers, possibly. And then the last thing I want to throw out with these morning routines is, you know, the concept of light. And so light specific to morning routines can be a deep topic, but if we just said, gosh, we do know that getting some natural light in the morning resets our circadian clock. You know, we need to be outdoors to do that and have that light go through our optic nerve and stimulate our pineal gland and all that, those things that happen, those magic things. And we bring up cortisol and we bring down melatonin in the morning. When we have that light exposure, this is good. So we get a hormonal resetting when we have the light. And there's also a benefit to getting some of those infrared rays, which we have morning and evening, and those have been shown by research to, normalize physiology in us diurnal human beasts. So we're tied to that sun, and it does seem to really impact our health when we align our circadian rhythms optimally. Last thing on the light would be Well, artificial. I mean, artificial light, and that word, it says it all. It is artificial. It's not the real thing. It's not quite as good. But sometimes we have to use what we have available. So when traveling or in the winter, the use of artificial light now, talking about bright lights, which might be LEDs or fluorescents that have a higher amount of the blue wavelengths in their spectrum, that is going to be beneficial to get started as far as a morning routine, kind of wake up and get rolling. Again, not as good as getting outdoors, but sometimes we'll take what we can get. So just a few thoughts there. And I just wanted to put that out because I hear so much about morning routines. And as an open-minded skeptic, I would say this. I would say we should all experiment with morning routines, but really what I would encourage you to do is decide what works best for you. What makes your day? What gives you the best amount of happiness, energy, productivity, health, fitness, you name it. And that's really where a morning routine comes from. So I don't think that you have to copy these very involved, possibly insane is a strong word, but there are people that do things to that level with their morning routine, probably because it works for them. So enough said. So an upcoming show coming up, we're going to take a look at pain, and specifically the question of should you work through pain, and how this pertains to injuries and exercise training and rehabilitation. That's going to be a fun dive that PK and I will take. And so today my parting comments are just to say, hey, thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed the short format, and by all means send me your comments and questions. I love to engage, and we do have a few mailbags filling up for some future shows, and if you are inclined to do so, I would be much appreciative if you could rate and review this podcast whatever platform you listen to it on. And hey, thanks again, and have a phenomenal day.